Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our open Q&A session here at Lifetime Adoption, where we will be discussing private domestic infant adoption and answering all of the questions that are on your minds today. My name is Kim King. I am here with Heather Featherston, and we are excited to speak with you today about the questions that you have on your minds and answer those, help you get a great idea of what to expect in the process, and just talk about some of the ins and outs that you might be wondering about as you begin your adoption search, as you seek to find that right adoption professional, that great agency for you to partner with toward your adoption. So hopefully tonight will be time well spent for you. I think it will be. And we're excited to spend this next hour with you. And you are welcome to begin typing your questions into the questions box. You should see that on your screen. If you are joining us on PC, you should, or on your device, you should be able to see a questions box there where you can communicate, type in questions. You can type in things that are on your mind, feedback. Any comments, we will see those as we go throughout the next hour together. And we also had several wonderful questions submitted in your registration forms, so we appreciate that. If for some reason you have to leave our webinar, we are recording. We will be sharing this. So just let us know if you need the link to the recording if you miss out on the remainder. Couple things, you can also find us online at lifetimeadoption.com. We have a wonderful website there that is so full of resources. We get compliments all the time on the great information that is there. So feel free to make the most of our website and the FAQs, the articles, the blog posts for birth parents as well as adoptive parents. Our web team and content creators do such an amazing job in always bringing fresh new content to our website at lifetimeadoption.com. And please do take a moment to follow us on Facebook. You can search Lifetime Adoption, and we are under, it's skipping my mind right now,
it's,
but let's go with Instagram. Yeah, open.adoption.
Yeah, facebook.com/open.adoption. Yep.
That's right, facebook.com/open.adoption. If you are more on the gram in your regular goings about on the internet, feel free to join us on Instagram under Lifetime Adoption Center. Again, our content creation team is always just so great at keeping things fresh. It's a great way to stay in the loop and another way to go deeper with us and learn more about us as you choose an agency, or maybe you've already chosen Lifetime and you are just looking for that reassurance and want to continue growing your knowledge. So these are great resources. Our webinar format tonight is a Q&A. It's very broad. If you have specific questions more unique to your adoption, your circumstances, please call us or email your coordinator. If you're new to Lifetime, you don't have a coordinator yet, but you can easily connect with a coordinator. The phone number here is 1-800-923-6784. That's 1-800-923-6784. Or you can email apply@lifetimeadoption.com to just touch base, get some specific questions answered about your unique circumstances. Now, along with that, I will definitely encourage you, if you have not already done so, please take a few minutes to fill out the application on our website. It is a very streamlined application. It's found at lifetimeadoption.com/apply. lifetimeadoption.com/apply. You'll be able to fill that out just based on, you know, who you are and what you know off the top of your head, or a couple of your adoption preferences. Fill in your basic characteristics and a little basic contact info. And then that way we can explore further with you and answer questions for you based on what we know you've shared with us about yourself, your family characteristics, some of your basic adoption needs. Then also we can check for an opening and see if we can possibly partner with you toward your adoption. So feel free to fill that out no matter where you are in your process. If you're brand new to researching or looking to expand your search, you are welcome to apply, lifetimeadoption.com/apply. Since this is a Q&A, one of our most frequently asked questions about our application is it, you know, what's the fee to apply?
Right.
It is a free application on the website. So
you know,
super easy for you.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, Kim, I was just going to explain for just a minute why we have that application free. And as you, if you've been searching, if you, you haven't been searching, you'll find that most organizations do charge an application fee. We, at Lifetime, we don't, because with us, with a lot of other professionals too, there may be limited openings. And adoption budget is something that I know we're going to talk about tonight, because we talk about the cost of adoption. That's one of the most frequently asked questions. But we want really to be sure that you can make the most of your adoption budget. So before we even, you know, get into a partnership with you, we want you to have that opportunity to apply for free, to learn more about adoption. And if we don't have an opening, or if you don't feel we're the right fit, we want to be sure that that decision is made independent of, oh, well, we already paid $500 for the application fee. You know, we don't want to go there. So we really want to be able to give you an honest evaluation, our professional answers to your questions, and really make sure we're a good solid fit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that families find a lot of assurance in that, that we don't just offer to give it a whirl for any family that applies.
Mm-hmm.
We first want to see if there's a connection there and the ability to meet the needs that you have, and also help guide you through establishing what those needs will look like if
right.
you're not so sure what that means for you and your end goal in adoption. That can all stem from the purpose, you know, the reason you're coming to adoption, your expectations, you know, things that you might have some concerns about, or that you might be basing some fears on based on, mm-hmm. you know, you might have some fears based on some myths. So we can help unpack all of that, unwind all of that for you through our detailed and personalized application process. So again, that's at lifetimeadoption.com/apply. So do fill that out either tonight or perhaps sometime over the weekend. We can take a look, and we always reply within 1 to 5 business days. We always let you know we've got it and what to expect next. And you can always call with questions or email with questions if you're not sure you want to apply, but it's safe to apply, but we're happy to answer questions anytime. So Heather, here we are. We're getting started. We've kind of dabbled a little in some Q&A already just in these first several minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to answer these questions for these families who are listening. We know that your goal is to either grow your family or become parents through adoption, and you are doing a wonderful thing spending some time investing in building a great foundation for your adoption just by educating yourself. So Heather, let's get started with our Q&A.
Sounds great.
So as far as the type of adoption that we do here, one of the questions that we get is, you know, can you help me if I'm looking to do international, or can you help me mm-hmm. if I'm looking for, you know, trying to foster? We have, you know, a national hotline people can call. They don't always know who they're speaking with. So
right.
that's one of the first things that I think we should just talk about is an expectation here.
Sure. And one of the things we said right up front, I think in the title of the webinar, is newborn adoption. For families wanting to adopt a newborn baby, typically international is not an option. You're not able to adopt internationally. And at Lifetime, we actually don't do international adoption. We also do not do foster adoption. We focus mostly, I would say, 90 to 95% of our adoptions are newborn adoptions. So what our coordinators are working with here is we're working with pregnant moms. We're working with women who want to explore adoption for their unborn baby. And so that's the expectation that a lot of families have. We do occasionally get children who are toddlers or maybe 4 or 5 years old, but that's a little more rare. more often than not, what families are adopting with Lifetime is a newborn baby, and it is, like I say, here in the U.S. They're not traveling overseas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And, you know, some basic things about private domestic infant adoption. Well, with Lifetime, you can be chosen by a birth mom from anywhere in the U.S.
Yes.
Because we do provide those services.
Mm-hmm.
And what we will help you do is establish your preferences. We will guide you through that, make sure that that's all something you're confident about before we proceed. Then we will help you with developing a great profile, or I'm calling them profile materials now, because mm-hmm. you have many different formats that
right.
we get to use. And that could be your physical profile, a digital version of that, your online profile on multiple websites hosted by Lifetime, mm-hmm. social media, as well as your video. And also, you know, they can put an audio file on their mm-hmm. web profile. So there are a lot of ways that we help you, you know, be presented, and we guide you through developing that, and we help give you all the tools that you need, depending on what your expectation, if you want, what your expectation is regarding your experience in creating your profile. If you want to do it with our guidance and you're very hands-on, you get to be in charge of that process with our advice, and we tell you all about how you can make a successful profile to convey your message to where it can give a birth mom an opportunity to connect with you, or whether you'd like a different experience where you're delegating that to be done for you here at Lifetime. We offer both options, so you can ask us a little bit more about that if you're curious how profile development works. And from there, our birth mom coordinators can start presenting you to these women who have reached out to us that and have shared adoption is on their heart. And we're learning about them. We already know about you. You're already here. You are a fixed person in our program where we already know your preferences and about your family. And if we know that she fits within all the preferences and you all are mutually, you know, it could be a really good connection, then we can send your profile to her. And she's got certain steps that she needs to go through in order to be eligible to match with one of our families. There's a lot of guidance there and support there for her to self-assess if this is the right direction for her. And if you have questions about, you know, the birth mom side of things, just feel free to type those into your questions box there. From there, we have a lot more information to share with you about mm-hmm. how this process to matching works. From there, once you are matched, then we'll have you retain the right legal services in your adoption, and we will continue guiding you and birth mom through to the successful adoption. That means we're orchestrating everything between you, birth mom, the hospital, any social workers at the hospital or elsewhere that are involved in your adoption. You know, we are the hub of your adoption, while your attorney is also a teammate with us. Whomever you've retained for your legal services in that adoption is a partner with us as well. So we can all work together to help guide you and birth mom through as smooth a possible transition as we can to this successful adoption. So once you're matched and, you know, traveling to that baby, then we are providing you with 24/7 support during those moments. And that is such a blessing for families.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree, Heather? The 24/7.
It is. In fact, and I'm happy to go into it a little more, but we had a baby born just this week. We got the call from the hospital as the baby was being born, and we have a family who they were on with our 24-hour support last night as they got the call that the birth mother had chosen them, and so they were hopping in the car to drive the 7 hours and get here by morning, and we're able to do that support because you can't always predict when a baby's going to be born. In adoption, a woman may make the decision at the last minute. So being able to have 24-hour access to your coordinator is really a necessary part of what you should be looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, we had some questions typed in here, Heather, regarding this topic. Someone, Morgan, thank you for your question. do we need to find our own attorney, or is that provided by Lifetime?
Oh.
That's a great question, because I think that sometimes families are really concerned about how to find the right people, how to know who to hire, and especially in the heat of the moment.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's why, you know, Lifetime has been, we've been here for 35 years now. And in those years, we have worked with an awful lot of attorneys. So part of Lifetime's program is providing attorneys, providing referrals, not just for the attorney, but also for a home study provider in your area. So we will provide you with attorneys. We'll, you know, tell you what we think, give you the information you can call. But one tip I'd like to give people, Kim, very, very important. A lot of times, in fact, just this week, I had the question asked of me, can we use the legal service provided through our employer, like a prepaid legal or something like that? And I will say, usually the answer is no. That is a way to really take an adoption off the rails, because in adoption, you really want to engage an adoption attorney. Adoption law is a specialty. Maybe you've seen someone advertising family law who does adoption. Typically, they're doing step-parent adoption or something like that. But the adoption attorneys that are the referrals we use do primarily adoption, like the type of adoptions we do. That's the whole of their practice. They don't also do divorce and custody and those things. That is a family law attorney. So it's really important to know and understand that to maximize the opportunity for success, you do need an adoption attorney. And usually the prepaid legal services or whatever legal service an employer offers, they don't usually have an adoption attorney coverage. It's more, family law. And especially if you're doing an interstate adoption where you're in one state and the birth mother is in another state, definitely you need those specialized professionals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I actually had someone just ask me that this week as well. So I encourage them to not spend the money on that unless they think they'll need it for something else, and just put those funds toward their adoption fund instead. So they can get the right services when the time comes.
Yes.
So yes, we have those referrals. If you are looking for a home study provider referral, we do not expect you to have that home study provider already picked out, or we do not expect you to be calling around looking for one. We have connections with home study providers all across the country. Mm-hmm. We've completed adoptions in every state. So what will happen is, once you do begin your program, you will have, as a newly contracted Lifetime family, you will have a welcome call with your new primary coordinator, who kind of becomes your go-to person as you're mm-hmm. getting everything established and in that first phase of your program here. So all you have to do is just remember to ask for a home study provider referral during your welcome call, and she'll probably email you that information after the call. And that's usually within, I would say families start their home studies within the first week, 2 weeks of beginning their program. That's perfect timing. If you have any special circumstances regarding home study, or if you're going to be moving or something like that, if you have a home study concern, please feel free to email that to me. My email is kim@lifetimeadoption.com. Let me know your first and last name, as well as what state you are in. And then that way I can help with any, hopefully help with any questions you may have. I'm not a home study provider, but I can definitely share with you what we've seen over the years and hopefully give you the right direction or a good sense of confidence about how to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So let's see, Kim, we have some other questions.
There's a great question here. So how would I go about adoption, because my wife is in the Navy? We're trying to start a family. If you're a military family, then you should definitely apply with Lifetime. We've helped many military families over the years, and we can get to know a little bit more about you by you filling out the application, check for an opening, and give you that feedback usually within 1 to 5 business days. Mm-hmm. So we're totally fine with working with families who are in the military and have done so successfully, as well as placing parents.
Yes, definitely.
That have completed it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And really what that entails is, you do need to be sure you do have a, Kim, it just went out of my mind, a power of attorney. And there may be some things that you may need to wait until she's back home from deployment, if she's deployed, or if she's away. The home study writer may want to see and meet and interview you both. So sometimes timing has to be worked out. But we've worked with we've even worked with military families who are stationed overseas. So nobody's here in the U.S., but when you live on base, you know, that's equivalent of living in the U.S. So we have successfully helped those parents too.
Yes. Speaking of timing, what is the time frame on the process? So our average match times are within 6 to 18 months, but we have families on either side of that. You know, it's all in God's timing. There are many factors that lead to when an adoption will take place. Part of it is, of course, going to be your adoption readiness. Another piece of the puzzle is your adoption preferences. And, you know, the third thing will be having a birth mother choose you. If you're working with Lifetime, and in most private domestic infant adoption programs, the birth mothers are going to choose the family. So, you know, it's very important that she have that confidence and connection with the family that she is placing her baby with. So the timing does vary, but we can definitely, you know, just share that average with you. Most of the families do adopt within 2 years. That is a norm here. Some families hear that and say, wow, that's really fast, because my agency was saying 3 to 5 years. And some people think, well, wow, I was thinking maybe like 9 months, since that's the time of a pregnancy, and why would it take any longer than that? We're a really great family. It's just that, you know, there are a lot of things that are in your control with this, but there are a lot of things that are not in your hands. So I think Heather, Lifetime is really great about helping people along each phase of those ways they can be successful.
Right.
Adoption readiness. And
Right. And that's, I was going to kind of talk about each of those things just a little bit more. So in terms of your adoption readiness, what Kim's speaking to is, how ready are you to take the steps that are needed? You know, you've heard us talk about a home study. If you're not familiar with what a home study is, that is kind of like the approval to adopt. A social worker comes and visits with you in your home, does some interviews. You have to have some background checks. She will ask for your taxes, your insurance, your health insurance. She'll do a tour of your home. It's not a white glove test, but just a tour. Maybe advise you on ways you might need to baby-proof your home. That doesn't have to be done now, just advice. And at the end, she will write a report approving you for adoption. A very important part of the home study is also the education aspect. Usually, you're required to take some classes. Typically, they're online. And that is kind of the adoption training. They talk about adoptive parenting. You might need to take infant CPR. You may take education classes on transracial adoption if you're open to adopting outside of your race, or older child adoption if you're looking to or open to adopting an older child. So that's a part of that home study process. And when you hear us talk about adoption readiness, it really means how quickly or slowly a family moves through that process. And some of it is out of your control, but a great deal of it is within your control. So families who, you know, kind of jump in and get moving right away, they're going to be adoption ready sooner. And why that's important for us is because you've heard us mention about a last minute adoption. You have to have that home study piece completed to be eligible to be chosen for those last minute adoptions. So there are other things that go into adoption readiness, like getting your materials, your profile materials ready. You know, we help you with the website, the printed profile, the digital version, doing a video for your website. Lifetime walks you through all of those things. But again, getting that done right away. Now, there are families that complete everything, the home study, the profile, in 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. There are some families who aren't quite as motivated and may take 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. At that point, you know, there's a, you know, we want to help guide and motivate you to get that done. So that adoption readiness, again, like Kim said, that is one of those things within your control. The second one you mentioned, Kim, was preferences. That is your adoption preferences for a child. That includes the age of a child, the race or combination of races of a child, how open you are to any prenatal substance use, and then how open you are to an open adoption. And we're going to talk a little bit about open adoption during this call too. But those are the things that when you're with Lifetime, and really with any adoption organization, you will set up those adoption preferences. And that's how we know when we have a woman call us who's pregnant, and, you know, maybe she's Hispanic and having a baby who's a boy and she smoked cigarettes, we're able to go and query our database of families and present her the families who are open to specifically adopting her baby. So those are how, that's really how that's done. And families who have more open preferences are going to come up more often on those database queries. So they're going to be shown more frequently to birth parents, as opposed to those who are quite narrow, say, you know, Caucasian only, no substances, girl only. That family isn't going to be shown very frequently. So again, this is one of those things that you control. There's no right or wrong. There's only what your family is comfortable with. And that influences your wait time simply because it influences the number of opportunities you can be shown to. And then the third thing that Kim mentioned was being chosen by a birth mom. That's the one thing that you may feel like, well, I don't have any control over that. How can I help that happen? What can I do? And really it's affected by two things. And it's really the two things we just talked about. Number one is preferences. The more women who see you, the more opportunities you have to be chosen. And the other is, you know, what have you done with the opportunities to create your profile materials? You know, Lifetime, one requirement we have is we do have a professional photo. Have you gotten a professional photo? Have you put, you know, good effort into building your profile, building your video? Those are the things you want to do your best at with our help and guidance. We give you examples. We walk with you. And like Kim said, for families who want us to take over that part of it, we have an option for that too. So it just really, the better you do in the first two things, the third thing will often flow smoother or a little more quickly. But having a birth mother choose you, you know, birth mothers are looking for a connection. They're looking for a family that they can see their child growing up in, that they feel, based on the words you've written and the photos you've shown, that they can trust. That's what they're looking for. So, and then, you know, you'll have opportunity to speak with her and get to know her. And that's when you find if that connection is there. Typically, families only speak with one, maybe two birth parents. But usually the first one is the one where that connection is made. Sometimes it may take, you know, a little more. But that's kind of how that part of the process, you do have some control over how long that wait is.
Yes. Heather, now I'm seeing a few people asking regarding the cost of adoption. Of course, mm-hmm. We know that is a huge factor on people's minds, and every organization is very different. So in order to give you the specifics as far as estimates on cost for different things like home study, legal services, what is Lifetime seeing as far as birth mom expenses? Mm-hmm. What is the fee for Lifetime, and, you know, what is included in that fee? That's a lot to share, and we also want this audio program to be current. So what we're going to do is, if you would like to know the specifics of the cost, lifetime fee, as well as the big picture, everything you're going to need, because that's what's going to be the most useful answer. Mm-hmm. Please email me, and tonight I will email you back with two documents. One will be a chart of the services we provide. The other will be our information as far as estimates and what we're seeing. We always provide this to families before they have their personalized phone conference with us before beginning their program here as part of our application process. We will always provide this, but since you are on the webinar tonight, if you have not already received that in the process here with us, be sure to email kim@lifetimeadoption.com and I will send all of that complete information over to you. But just please share your first and last name and what state you're in, so that that way, in case there's anything specific to your state, I can be sure to share that with you. And you can feel free to just throw in any other personal questions you might have about your adoption journey into that email. It's Kim, K-I-M, at lifetimeadoption.com. I'll be answering those tonight. If you send them to me a different day, I will be answering them, but I might share it with a different coordinator too, who can start to communicate with you as well.
And let me just share a little bit more about why that's so hard to give those general costs, or I should say specific costs, is because home studies are different in every single state. Now, if you live in Florida, we are a licensed child placing agency in Florida, and we can do your home study. And I can tell you exactly how much your home study costs in the state of Florida. And lifetime's fee, it varies depending on which program and services you want. Legal, we don't know the legal fees until you're matched with a birth mom. We can give you an estimate on the lower side and the higher side, but until you know your needs, we're not going to know that. Birth mother expenses, that is a cost that you can set. State law dictates whether and how much families can choose to pay for birth parent expenses, and we can help you with all of that. And I think one of the things that's good to know, because a lot of families don't know this, Kim, coming into it, you cannot give a woman money in exchange for allowing her to adopt your baby. You can help her with her pregnancy-related expenses. These are the state statutes. That's what says this. So obviously, buying and selling of a child would be trafficking. But there are true costs women have in carrying a pregnancy, especially when you look at, you know, there are alternatives to seeing a pregnancy through. So in most states allow women to receive help with, at a minimum, her medical expenses. And if you think about insurance today, most of the women we're seeing are covered by Medicaid, but there are some who have some type of insurance, and a lot of those insurances will have a copay, especially for a pregnancy. So that's something that families may have to help with, as well as transportation to her prenatal visits. Other costs we see is help with rent, help with food, maybe help with maternity clothes, maybe help with a cell phone. So those are things that, again, when we have that personalized conference, we can give you more information on. But setting a budget for your birth parent expenses, that is something that will control your costs. Some families have a higher budget, some families have a lower budget. Again, that all plays into the total cost.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There's someone here, Ashley, thank you for your questions. So she was wondering if the fee with Lifetime, if in your program, is it only for one child?
Great question.
You know, how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Lifetime, what Lifetime's fee covers is, it covers, we'll say, one adoption. Now, from the same birth parent. But if that is twins, there is no additional cost. And if that is a sibling group, there is no additional cost. Now, when I say no additional cost, that means for Lifetime. So families who have joined our program, they are contracted Lifetime families. If they're chosen by a woman who's carrying twins, or maybe wants to place, right now we're working with a woman who's placing her 1.5-year-old and the baby she's carrying with the same family. There is no additional cost that you will pay lifetime. It will cost a little more because the attorney will be doing the work for two children. The birth mother will have to sign consents for two children. So that's where there's going to be a little bit of cost. After the adoption, a family has to have what they call post-placement visits. You may have to pay for one for each of the children. So that's where the cost will be more, but there is nothing more due to lifetime at all. And also, because I know we've had this question, I didn't see who specifically asked it. If you are working with a birth mother who changes her mind, again, there is no additional cost to lifetime. We just kind of go back to where we were before you were chosen, and we begin presenting you again. So, like I say, a failed adoption with lifetime doesn't mean that you walk away from us empty-handed. We continue to work with you.
Heather, there was something that I wanted to share about, too, regarding birth mom expenses. Mm-hmm. I had a family recently share with me that they were told to budget around $30,000 for birth mom expenses.
Ooh.
Because I know. I kind of caught my same. Yes.
Same reaction.
During that conversation, yeah. I had this. Yes.
But no. And the answer is no. Most of our birth parents do not request much in the way of expenses. We do have some that request more. I think a good average budget is probably $4,000, maybe $5,000. Mm-hmm. We have some family have a budget. I mean, even on the high side, a budget would be maybe $10,000, but that is so rare. I think we've only had one adoption that was ever that much. Like I say, many times it's zero. But again, that is a way, if you're more narrow, say on race or substances, opening up on budget might help offset that a little bit. Because again, what you can afford to help a birth mother with in regards to expenses, that is one of those kind of preference items that we do query for.
Yes, because when you get chosen by a birth mom, we want it to be not only within what you're accepting of and able to move forward with in parenting that child. So there are going to be a lot of decisions that you will make regarding your ability to parent that child, your desire to say yes when chosen. We also want it to be financially doable for you and not say, oh, well, you know, well, this family's open to $3,000, but she needs $7,000. Let's just call them and ask them if it's okay. Because, you know, most families have really put a lot of thought into their preferences, mm-hmm. and that's what's doable for them. So we really respect those and honor those. Now, every now and then we might have a case where it's harder to find a family for someone. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are circumstances that are a little out of the ordinary, or maybe the combination mm-hmm. of factors is making it harder to find a family for someone. So we might ask someone about a specific case, but that's not our normal practice.
No.
You know, here at Lifetime, we have a basic way that we do things, but we can always adapt to new situations that mm-hmm. come along to meet mm-hmm. the needs of placing parents and help them find a family who can say yes and partner with them and adopt that baby. So, you know, back to birth mom expenses, if you're being told a certain number or anything you're being told and it doesn't feel quite right or you're not sure, you're just not sure, you're always welcome to use us as a sounding board. Call your coordinator, email us, send us a text. If you already have a coordinator, then you know how to do that. If not, just email or call and we'll be happy to give you our insight based on our experience here at Lifetime.
Right.
We know there are a lot of different types of adoption professionals out mm-hmm. there, and mm-hmm. everyone's a little different, in many ways the same, but in so many ways so different.
Right.
So we can, you know, shed light on that for you a little more if there's something that sounds a little off to you mm-hmm. With some places you're looking at. Just because someone tells you, well, you need to prepare to, you know, pay for her living wages for a year, her lost wages for a year, doesn't mean you have to accept that. It's really good to explore a few different places. Marty mm-hmm. always said, you know, to be sure you're exploring a few different places. So when you choose the right place, you know what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when people choose Lifetime, it's like they feel at home. They've found a home here, and you probably, if you're meant to adopt with Lifetime, you've probably already started to feel that just even in this conversation and just looking through the website. I think that's a very an observation families have when ultimately we are on the same page and able to partner with them.
Definitely. There's a great question here that Jesse asked, and I think it'll kick off a little discussion here about open adoption. Once an adoption is complete, what rights do the birth parents have? And I'm not going to assume I know what she means, but I'm going to answer and, like I say, kind of segue into open adoption. So after the adoption is complete, the birth parents do not have any rights. They have relinquished their parental rights, or their parental rights have been terminated, depending on legally how it was done. And the adoption has been finalized, and a birth certificate will be reissued for your child showing your names as the parents. The old birth certificate is still filed in the courthouse, but it has been amended, and now your child has one showing you as the parents. So the birth parents have no rights. With the advent of open adoption, what we've really seen is that adoption has kind of been flipped upside down. You know, in the 50s, 60s, probably even before that, you know, women were kind of forced into adoption from a place of shame, from a place of being an unwed pregnant mother. Not a phrase you hear much anymore. And it was embarrassing for the family. Often her father, her parents sent her away to a maternity home. No one knew, her friends, nobody knew. And it was all very secretive. Open adoption really, Marty, our founder, was one of the pioneers of open adoption in the 80s when it really started to take off. And women started to be able to choose the family, to see their baby after birth, to get some updates. Where we are today is, in the last few years, social media has really changed things in terms of contact afterwards. You know, it used to be letters and photos was what it was. Then it was, you know, letters and photos and maybe an email update. And then visits were more common. And now social media plays a big role. But the difference is, and I get it. I get many adoptive parents, when they hear all this, it's a little bit fearful, wondering about, well, but still that question, what rights do they have? It's good to also understand, as you're considering open adoption, that women no longer are shamed into adoption. They are not forced by their father, by their friends, by their anybody. You know, it's very common nowadays that we see single pregnant parenting mothers by choice. You know, not all single moms had a man leave. A lot of them, it's by choice. So our culture, like I say, has done a 180 on this. There is nothing culturally shameful about it. Now, you know, people may think, well, yeah, but it is better to have a baby after you're married, have a stable two-parent home. But that's not the conversation. The conversation is that women are not being forced or shamed into adoption. In fact, today, a woman choosing adoption is getting pressure to parent. Usually her friends are telling her, oh, come on, you can do it. Her mother may be saying, oh, honey, it's okay, I'll help you. So the women who are choosing adoption today are strong enough to withstand that pressure and still follow through with it. So when they're asking for an open adoption, when they're asking for letters and pictures and to be Facebook friends and to get together once or twice a year for a visit, it's not to hold on to that child. It's really to stay in touch, to see the beauty they created through their selfless choice, and probably a result of a true connection. Remember, I talked about connection earlier, that they felt with you. It creates kind of a extended family, but not a close extended family, a distanced extended family relationship. And Marty likes to say it's more people to love our children. She does not wish, or she cannot parent at this time. If she could, she would. She simply would. There's resources everywhere today for women who want to parent. So, and yes, it may be finances. She may not be able to parent in the way she wants her child to be provided for. So finances may be a driving factor. The desire for a two-parent home might be a driving factor. Whatever her reasons are, they are her reasons. And but again, she's not wanting a relationship to hold on to the child. She is letting the child go, usually of her own free will. So while parents don't have any rights, open adoption really creates a beautiful, they call it a triad, the adoptive parents, the birth parents, and the child. And today, children are told from the beginning, from birth, there are board books about adoption. So they grow up knowing their story, knowing they were placed in adoption with you in love, knowing that their birth mother loved them so much she wanted more than she could give them. So there's never a time you have to sit down and tell your child, son, you're 12 years old. There's something your father and I never told you. That never happens. A child grows up knowing the truth and having access, whether it's a lot of access or limited access or just a photo because she didn't want to stay in touch, having something gives your child that self-confidence, that self-assurance of knowing who they are and where they came from. There's no, there's not this magical moment at 18 or 21 when they, go to find their birth family. That doesn't happen. They know who their birth family is. There's no mystery. There's no, maybe my birth mother is in a castle somewhere being held by a, an evil. That's not it. You can't fantasize about something when you know the reality. So the open adoption thing, and I like to talk a lot about this because I find that many adoptive parents at the beginning find a real fear about this, but it is nothing to be fearful of, especially as you learn more about it. And at Lifetime, that's a big part of our program is the education part. Families in our program have access to a private membership site that has tons of resources and webinars like this and just a lot of information. And if you are still curious about open adoption, we have adoptionwebinars.com where we have a lot of webinars open to the public. You can hear from families in open adoptions. You'll hear them tell their stories and learn more about how it's nothing to be fearful of. One thing I do want to clarify, Kim, before we move on is I mentioned visits in open adoption. I do want to clarify that that is not a visit with your child's birth mother is not like visitation in divorce. Your child doesn't go over to the birth mother's house for a weekend. No. That is not a visit in adoption. A visit in adoption is the two families coming together. So maybe you get together, have lunch at Cracker Barrel, and then go to the park for an hour. That's a visit. If your relationship is stronger, it may be, doing more. But at the very baseline, a basic visit is maybe sharing some time together. I say over a meal because that's often the easiest. And then, letting them interact with the child a little bit at the park. And that can be very easy. And it's also very reassuring because your child's birth mother or birth family can see by your willingness to keep in touch they can witness how much you love and care for the child, but they also feel that you care about them, that you embrace them as your child's family, because at the end of the day, they are always going to be part of your child's family and heritage. Kim, are you still there? Oh.
Heather, there you are. There I am. I was
There
muted.
you
I was
are.
typing my usual staccato clickety-clacking typing that sounds like tap dancing. So I muted. But anyway, we're back. We're back. So that website you mentioned, it's adoptionwebinar.com. I just shared that in your chat there.
Great, great.
Adoptionwebinar.com. Great free resources Lifetime has provided. Those are audio programs that many adoption professionals give to their clients to help them meet their hours of adoption
Yes.
education. So those are great resources for you to explore anytime you want. You can push play on any of those topics that you're most interested in. Let's see. So you've done a great job talking about open adoption. And if you, as a prospective adoptive parent, have more questions about open adoption, feel free to email kim@lifetimeadoption.com if you'd like more information about open adoption sent to you via email. I can also email that to you. We know that people learn in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Chances are, if you are on this webinar, you really love audio programs, or at least you're pretending to tonight. So again, if you missed it in the beginning, great job making some time to invest in your adoption. Before we get to our last round of questions tonight, Heather, I want to be sure to share some contact information with everyone tonight. You can apply at lifetimeadoption.com/apply. I definitely recommend filling that out. It is a free application at lifetimeadoption.com/apply. We have streamlined that over the years to just focus on some basic information most people feel comfortable sharing, and we will keep it all confidential, and that way we can help point you in the right direction and give mm-hmm. you answers to your questions based on your circumstances and some of your adoption needs that you may have, and mm-hmm. and explore possibly if there's a partnership here with you toward an adoption. I definitely recommend filling that out sooner rather than later. It's really hard on families if they've done a year of research and narrowed it down to Lifetime, apply, and then we don't have an opening. Mm-hmm. So why not put yourself out there? Just apply. All that does is starts the conversation. It does mm-hmm. not obligate you to anything at all. Mm-hmm.
One of the things I wanted to mention, Kim, real quick, because we actually neither one mentioned it, was in Lifetime's program, we are very aware that cost of adoption overall, not specifically Lifetime, can be a concern for families. We do have resources on how to help with some of those costs. We have information on the tax credit, information on loans that are available, and we also offer a interest-free payment plan. So Kim can also share more about that a little later down the road, but it is something we do offer for families as well.
Something I want to point out, Heather, that doesn't always come up in our conversations, mm-hmm. We have a resources page on our site. Mm-hmm. It's lifetimeadoption.com/financing. Mm-hmm. If you are looking for a place to do financing for you, there is a link there. If you've never heard that there's a federal adoption tax credit, there is a link there to find out more about that. So you can factor that into your planning, big picture planning financially for your adoption.
Yeah.
Also, please check with your employer to see if there is any adoption assistance, not just the paternity or maternity leave that you can use as an adopting parent, but financial assistance that some companies do offer. So you'll want to know what the amount and how that works.
And that is called, it's usually called adoption benefits or a benefit for adoption. And it is cash to help cover adoption expenses. And there are companies that give $10,000, $15,000, and it's just a normal benefit. You just need to ask your HR department.
That's right. So get the ball rolling sooner rather than later on asking your HR person about that. Give them a chance to get to your question. I know for a lot of companies, they're fielding a lot of things. So just be sure to get the ball rolling. If you don't hear back within a few days, follow up, you know, professionally, of course. But get the ball rolling on that. Get the ball rolling on how you'll fund your adoption by looking at those resources too at lifetimeadoption.com/financing. That way you know your options and you can complete any steps, any paperwork that you need to. So while you're researching everything else and your plan comes together, you're able to move forward as soon as you are ready to do so.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Or as soon as you're able to do so. Someone asked, do I need to be on social media? If you don't have social media, Sammy, this is a great question. Not everyone's on social media. No. Those of us who are think everyone is, right? But if you're not, then will that impact your chances of adopting? Do you have to have social media for your profile?
So, no, you don't have to have it. At Lifetime, that is one of the things we actually talk about in our private membership site is we give families tips and tricks on how to expand their reach because, you know, you hear about things going viral. you know, we have yet to see, you know, a family sharing their adoption video go viral, but we have seen a family share their adoption video and you get 50,000 views. 50,000 people seeing your video is a heck of a lot of people. And remember, all you need to complete an adoption is one. That's all you need is one. So it is not required, but again, it's another one of those things, kind of like your budget, kind of like your preferences. If you have it, it helps expand the opportunities. Now, let me tell you, this is a really good tip, Kim. You don't have to have it to maximize the use, because chances are you know someone who's on social media and who does a lot on social media, even if you're not there to see it. So it may just be as simple as asking around, finding a friend, and making that connection. I would say it is good to at least get on Facebook and play around a little bit, because if your birth mother, the one who chooses you, is on Facebook, that may be an additional way to communicate, or that may be an easier way to communicate. Let me share what I mean. Sometimes we work with women who maybe they have a cell phone, but it doesn't have any minutes. They have like the prepaid minutes, and they don't have any minutes or texts. So they can't text you. They can only connect with you if they, you know, have Wi-Fi. And Facebook Messenger is a great way to do that with Wi-Fi. So it may be good to learn. You don't have to go on there. You can, you know, don't even have to put your real name on there. You do have to put a valid email address, but it might be good to learn a little bit about that just in case you need to. So if it comes up, it's not like, oh my gosh, I don't do social media. You can do social media, but you can do it your way.
Great answer. So we are down to our last few minutes here. If we do not get to your question, or if one pops up later, please let us know. The phone number here at Lifetime is 1-800-923-6784. You can email your questions, general questions, to apply@lifetimeadoption.com. Or if you have specific questions and I've offered to share specific information such as the budget details and a chart of our services, let me know what questions you have. You can send those to me directly if you'd like, kim@lifetimeadoption.com. But let me know your first and last name and what state you live in, and feel free to throw in any questions you might have. But rapid fire round here, Heather. Do you know before the baby is born that you've been chosen as the adoptive parents?
Well, that's a good question. Yes.
Rapid fire, Heather. Come on. I know.
I got to think. I was typing an answer to another one. There's two types
of
options.
Some fun.
One is where you match before delivery, and the other is where you get the call saying a baby's been born and you've been selected, and here's what we know. Do you want to move forward? So yes and no. Most of them you know ahead of time, but some of them are, you know, it just happens that fast. A woman, you know, it's never too late to choose adoption. It never is. We get calls. We've gotten calls from, in fact, we just completed an adoption of a woman who had a baby 10 days ago. And she called us, well, 10 days when she called us. She called us, my baby's 10 days old. I can't do this. So, you know, it just kind of depends. But typically,
yeah,
yes, you are matched ahead of time in most Lifetime adoptions.
Can I just want to quickly add, regarding birth mom expenses, we don't match until she's at least 20 weeks along in most of our cases. So that mm-hmm. also helps keep birth mom expenses super low here compared to other places.
Right.
But we're also really good about pre-screening and supporting birth moms to help keep the expense low. So the earliest you'd probably match is about halfway through pregnancy. And the latest is this is a baby already born that you just need to drive right over or fly right over and have
right.
that baby placed with you.
Yes.
She's ready to make an immediate placement either
yes.
way. So that answered the other question that Morgan had as well. Thank you both for your questions. Are all adoptive family profiles public on your website?
Typically they are. Occasionally we have a family that says, you know what, due to privacy for our job, maybe they are someone who is a little more well known. We have had families opt not to. Again, that's one of those limiting things. Remember, we talked about things that help and things that limit. That is limiting because birth parents do choose families directly off the website. So it is not a requirement, But it is strongly encouraged.
Yes. And I know the person who asked this has left. I did answer it in chat, but I think other people might have this question too. So if you already have a completed home study, how quickly could you be able to start being shown to birth moms?
Oh, great.
Well, actually, yeah, I would say within a week. The temporary profile?
Well, if they do, I mean, you can do it. We have a temporary profile form that you can fill out, and you can get on working with your website. If you're motivated, you could do it within probably 4 days of starting our program. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you can talk to us about that. And for a lot of families reaching out, they are expanding their search. Maybe they started out by waiting with their home study provider,
right,
whether that was a social worker or
right,
their small local agency.
Yeah.
A lot of small local agencies. Yeah.
I was just going to say one thing, just for clarification. We will start presenting you to birth parents before you have your home study. So while yes, that's the answer to that gentleman's question, you at Lifetime, we expect you, once you start with us, that's when you start your home study also. So, but once you have a temporary profile, a website, we start showing you right away. So birth parents are looking at you before you've completed the home study process. Now, every once in a while, we have a family who shares something with us in their background on the application, and we encourage them to get their home study first just to confirm that they can adopt. But if you don't have any arrests, if you are, you know, able to pay your bills every month, usually you can get a home study. Home study is not a requirement at Lifetime to be shown to birth parents.
Right. So you want to be on track starting that home study in a timely mm-hmm. manner, and we'll talk with you more about that. And what we do is present your temporary profile to birth moms that have due dates that are a little further out.
Right.
So that by then, of course, your home
You'll
study
have your
will home be
study.
Done. Home studies. Yep, they usually take about 6 to 8 weeks to complete.
Mm-hmm.
One more question just to finish off the night from Ashley. Is a second adoption less expensive if we go with Lifetime again?
Oh, that's a nice
it
question.
It is a little less expensive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. We
do have a returning.
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
Heather, we're both so eager to answer this. We have a returning family discount, so you can feel free to ask your coordinator about that or email me, you know, if you aren't sure about current costs and everything. You know, we do have a returning family discount for our families, and all you have to do, if you are a family listening, let's say you are a Lifetime family and you have already, you know, adopted, and we've had several families come back to us this year alone. It seems like an increase in families returning for their next adoptions. And some of those families have already completed
mm-hmm.
this year.
That's right.
So, you know, just first apply. You can reach out and say, hey, we're coming back. We're ready to adopt again, or planning our next adoption. We want to come back with Lifetime, or we want to explore with you all again. Just apply online too, so that it initiates a new file for your new adoption or your next adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be where you would start with that. But you didn't leave. You're still here. Just switched to AirPods. Awesome. Great. So yes, if you do have more questions, zip them over to us. You can email general questions to apply@lifetimeadoption.com. If you've already applied and have a coordinator, send your questions to your coordinator. Of course, if you are a Lifetime family and joining us here on our open Q&A, you are welcome to send any questions to your coordinator. You can call 1-800-923-6784 and be sure to apply if you haven't done so. lifetimeadoption.com/apply. And that was a very exciting hour, Heather.
It was. It went so fast.
Yes. It sure did. You know, every time we get on these webinars, I get a little jittery, but then I think, why? These are so much fun.
They are fun.
Our listeners tonight, you know, you as adopting parents, planning and exploring and researching, investing in your future in adoption, you guys did a great job, you know, sending us wonderful questions that really helped us, you know, have a great conversation with you tonight and help you hopefully gain some of the information you need, get some more pieces to the puzzle. And we are looking forward to connecting with you and helping to continue guiding you through your next steps closer to your baby.
Absolutely. Yes.
And thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to our next conversation. So keep an eye on your phone and email for contact from Lifetime and future webinars coming up.